Tomorrow morning, in the Colombian city of Medellin, 800 paramilitary fighters are due to turn their weapons over to the Colombian government. In return, they'll get education, housing, and health care. It's the first step in the so-called demobilization of one of the country's deadliest outlaw fighting forces. But many Colombians worry it's just a covert amnesty for drug dealers and murderers. NPR's Martin Costi went to Medellin and prepared this report.
Medellin has had more than its share of violence. 10 years ago, this city was the scene of a massive hunt for cocaine kingpin Pablo Escobar, which ended with his death in a hail of bullets. More recently, leftist guerrillas and right-wing paramilitaries fought a bloody battle for control of the comunas, the poor neighborhoods on the slopes of the surrounding mountains. The paramilitaries won that battle, with help from the police, and as a result, Medellin is finally enjoying some relative peace. Now the residents of the comunas, like taxi driver Carlos, aren't sure how to feel about the demobilization. People have a lot of hope, but they're a little worried, too, because this might clear the way for the return of the guerrillas, Carlos says. And that's the catch-22 in Colombia these days. The right-wing paramilitaries and the Marxist insurgencies have held each other in check for decades. And whenever the government tries to negotiate a peace deal with one side, people fear the other will fill the vacuum. Negotiations with Marxist insurgents failed last year in part because they accused the government of being soft on the paramilitaries. So now, with this demobilization, President Álvaro Uribe is trying to prove that that's not the case.
The violent groups said they wouldn't negotiate with us because there was permissiveness with paramilitarism. This government has been dismantling the paramilitaries with military containment and dialogue.
This demobilization is the first stage in a deal between paramilitary leaders and the government, which will lead in principle to the demobilization of 13,000 men over the next 2 years. While many Colombians welcome this prospect, some are suspicious of Uribe's motives. He comes from a region with a strong paramilitary presence, and before he was elected, he was seen as sympathetic to their cause. Ignacio Arango, of the Medellin-based human rights group IPC, worries that the government will overlook the paramilitary's crimes.
Ha encontrado fosas comunes de personas.
Investigators have discovered mass graves of people who were abducted by the local paramilitaries, Arango says, referring to the group that's now demobilizing. International human rights groups say that not only are the paramilitaries killers, they also run narcotics and protection rackets in the areas they control. In theory, the government is offering the fighters amnesty only for political acts, armed insurrection, for example. But Edgar Peñuela, the government representative in the demobilization process, acknowledges that things aren't so clear-cut.
Muéstrame cuál sería el límite entre un delincuente y un actor armado.
Show me the borderline between a criminal and an armed actor. It's a blurry line, totally blurry. Sometimes you can't identify exactly whether an act is terroristic, criminal, or political.
The government insists it will not pardon crimes that rise to the level of human rights abuses, as defined by international accords. It also says it won't offer protection from extradition. U.S. officials are especially eager to extradite several paramilitary leaders for drug trafficking. But even though the demobilization has begun, the terms are still being worked out, and several paramilitary units have yet to come on board. Human rights groups worry that, in his zeal to bring paramilitaries into the process, President Uribe might be tempted to offer them too much. Martin Costi, NPR News.